This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran holds a funeral for its security forces killed during a terrorist attack in the southeastern city of Zahedan. One of the world's deadliest football disasters happened in Indonesia, where rioting in a stampede at the stadium caused nearly 175 deaths. Plus, Brazilians are set to vote in a polarized presidential election, with far-right incumbent Bolsonaro facing off former left-wing president Lula. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. A funeral procession is held for Iranian security forces who got killed in a terrorist attack in the southeastern Sistan and Balochistan province. Senior local and military officials attended that ceremony in the city of Zahedan. The participants demanded that the perpetrators be brought to justice. On Friday, members of a separatist group staged an armed attack on a police station, vandalizing public property. They also opened fire on security forces and worshippers who were in the area following the Friday prayers. Officials say that 19 people were killed and 20 others injured. Security forces moved in quickly to repel the attack. They killed a number of the assailants. Several security forces, including chief commander of the IRGC's local intelligence, Ali Mousavi, lost their lives in the armed confrontation. The chief commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has had some tough words for foreigners plotting against Iran. He was addressing the root cause of the recent unrest in Iran during his speech.
We are telling our enemies, the U.S., Britain, the Saudis, these are the ones that through their destructive media outlets, they are targeting our revolution. We are warning them that we will break you. We will crush you. You will not find any way into this territory. A great Iran will never ever allow one of you into its territory. Our young people are well aware, have awareness. Even these few people who have been deceived by you, by your promises and by your nonsense words.
Major General Hossein Salami said that the U.S. has become weak and helpless. That's why the enemies have launched a political and media campaign to make up for that. He said that they don't want to allow the existence of a powerful, influential, and sovereign country ruled by Islam. General Salami, however, noted that Iranians know how to defeat their enemies. He promised revenge against enemy actions, whether it be the downing of a drone or attacking a police station. In other news, the death toll from a stampede and riot in an Indonesian football stadium has risen to 174, among the victims a five-year-old child. Scores of others have also been injured in the incident in the Malang region. The tragedy unfolded when supporters of the losing side rushed to the pitch in anger. Security forces fired tear gas to push the rioters back, but that triggered panic and a deadly stampede as fans tried to escape. The government of President Joko Widodo has called the incident a tragedy and apologized to the public. Widodo has also ordered a security review. This is the deadliest stadium tragedy since the 1964 riot and crash in Peru that killed some 330 people. It's news review time. Now, people have rallied in all major cities across the United Kingdom to protest against rising living costs. Now, in the capital, London, people gathered in a number of places, including Queen's Gardens and Hull City Centre, to call for action. They demand higher pay for workers and taxes on the rich. The cost of living has been increasing across the UK since early 2021. The annual rate of inflation reached nearly 10% in August 2022, close to a 30-year high. The increase affected the affordability of goods and services for households. Now allow me to invite a couple of guests and discuss this a bit more. So Amina Taylor, my colleague in our London bureau, joining us. Also Peter Koenig, who's a former economist of the World Bank, is joining me from Geneva. So Amina, what the situation is like, this cost of living crisis, was also climate and related issues. It's not only a cost of living crisis, it looks like.
Well, you used a lot of words there to say that we're in deep, deep trouble, because the Don't Pay UK movement, which was what you were alluding to in that introduction there, their day of action was yesterday. Now, unfortunately for them, other national and international issues kind of pushed them down the media agenda a little bit. But this is a movement that is asking for those who've been impacted by the spiraling costs in their energy bills in that arena to simply refuse to pay their bills. Now, the problem with this is it has financial repercussions for the household, because unfortunately you've entered into a financial agreement with these companies, and that has ramifications for your credit score. It's a mess. But what I think it gets to the heart of is that no one seems to have any faith that it's the government causing this issue who's going to fix this issue. And, you know, just taking myself as an example, because I think the micro is very important to kind of give a bigger picture of the macro. My bills have gone up by hundreds this month alone. I mean, we're talking about looking at an increase in my mortgage fee when that becomes renewable because of the interest rate rises. We're looking at kind of less to spend because of inflation. We're looking at having to make some very tough decisions about just how my household moves ahead, especially across these winter months, the cold months, where we've already got a National Health Service that's under crisis. We've got a school system creaking at the seams. There are so many other issues here that I believe the convergence is now getting dangerous. And you understand that we have a prime minister this morning, Liz Truss, who's doing the media rounds, essentially proposing to defend the indefensible. I'm not quite sure what Peter's perspective is from an economy point of view, but, you know, when you have the IMF looking at Britain, one of its, I guess, major capitalist shining stars, and saying, that's not quite how we would do it. I'm not quite sure if even from big business perspective or even big capitalist perspective, if we're going down the right route. Forget, you know, the working poor and those who are just struggling to make ends meet.
Okay. Now, Peter, you're an economist, and you know better than us. So people are calling for action, not only words. So what action does it take? Because Liz Truss sounds so confident. I mean, she was talking about, you know, when her address as the new prime minister, she said that she's going to do this, she's going to do that, and she sounds pretty confident. Is what she's doing, that mini budget and all the problems that were caused, what action is it really required to address all these issues?
Yes, thank you very much. Well, the microeconomics and the micro impact, as your correspondent described, is very important for the individual. And this is maybe shining the light on England, but this is happening throughout the global north, or I would call, you know, what we call the West, the Western countries. The inflation, the average inflation or cost of living increase within the European Union is 10% basically, or in some countries already above 10%. And you look at the United States, it's also around 10%. Protests are going on in many countries, in Germany and France, under different flags, but always reflecting the cost of living and the higher pay they are in demand. Now, why is this happening across the global West? This is not just a coincidence. We have to see the big picture. The big picture has to do with the times that we are going through, and the times are the Great Reset. The Great Reset has to be implemented for UN Agenda 2030, which will basically demolish the riches of the of the global West and transfer the funds up to the great capital, and I'm talking about those more or less invisible capitals, which are BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. Those are working behind the scene, and the scene is managed by the World Economic Forum. And so what is happening is beyond, I think, any individual leader's capacity. Of course, they talk because they need to, they're part of it, they need to tranquilize the people. But what is happening actually, and that's why we are, we are always being told that the inflation has to do with the Russians, because the Russians are bad guys. They invaded Ukraine, and therefore there are shortages of everything. There are shortages of gas, which is the and of petrol, which is the basis for energy. So there's an energy shortage. There's a food shortage emanating from the energy shortage. So we'll be faced with food shortages, and energy shortages are two base components for inflation. So we are seeing an inflation everywhere. And this inflation is artificially created by the West actually committing for its people some kind of suicide. And I think this is what we have to see, the big picture. As long as we see only the small scale, which is very important. You know, I have to stress this. What your correspondent said is very, very important because it affects us individuals.
Right.
But in order to resolve it, we have to be aware of what's going on behind the scene. And see the big picture. In order to do that, in order to intervene, I think we have to understand the big picture. We, the people, have to understand so that we can really fight against what's going on behind the scene. And maybe, I mean, this is an agenda that has been planned decades, if not more, ahead of time, this decade 2030. That's why the agenda UN 2030 is in parallel going on with the Great Reset. And as long as we are not aware, they can do whatever they want with us. As soon as we become aware, we can actually resist it in solidarity. And that's what I'm aiming at.
Okay, I appreciate your insight and contribution. Amina Taylor in London, Peter Koenig in Geneva. Well, in a matter of hours, Brazilians will be heading for the polls in the country's most polarized presidential election in decades. Voting is compulsory for the more than 156 million people eligible. Far-right incumbent Jair Bolsonaro is being challenged by left-wing ex-president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Campaigning has been better, with the two candidates exchanging insults. The latest opinion polls have given Lula a healthy lead, with a chance of securing an outright victory in the first round. Bolsonaro has attacked the voting system and threatened to contest his defeat. Lula was not able to run in the last election because he was in jail after being convicted on corruption charges. The Supreme Court later annulled his conviction. Okay, now to the United States, where the confirmed death toll from Hurricane Ian has risen to at least 44. Authorities say the final death toll will be much higher, as reports of additional fatalities are still emerging from different counties in the state of Florida. The devastating storm has left behind a trail of destruction in Florida. Rescuers still searching for survivors in submerged neighborhoods and along the state's southwest coast. Homes, restaurants, and businesses were ripped apart when Ian roared ashore as a powerful Category 4 hurricane on Wednesday. U.S. media has tallied more than 70 deaths related to the storm, directly or indirectly. President Joe Biden will head for Puerto Rico and Florida this week to get a first-hand look at the damage caused by back-to-back hurricanes. Now, according to new inflation data, the United States and the Eurozone are mired in record inflation. But economic pessimism may only be just the beginning following the destruction of Nord Stream pipelines of Russian gas to Europe. Rami Mazahari has more from Chicago.
New data revealed that inflation hit a record 10% in the Eurozone and topped 6% in the United States as Western sanctions against Russia continue to massively backfire. The data is even worse than it appears, because it covers the month of August, when oil prices had dropped. This week's apparent sabotage of the Russian-German Nord Stream gas pipelines is a shocking escalation of the unrest in Ukraine and will have enormous consequences. Energy prices appear set to soar for a prolonged period. Europe's energy insecurity is now off the charts. Dreaded stagflation now seems like the West's certain economic future, and global bond markets are undergoing their worst drawdown ever. Polls ranging from the average person to the wealthy investor all reveal that economic pessimism has reached levels not seen since 2008, when the United States sparked the Great Financial Crisis.
That my parents, who have saved for retirement, are actually making decisions about what groceries they might put back on the shelf and what ones they're going to buy in a given month. It's kind of sad. These may be small things, but they all add up. They're going to have an issue with supply chain shortages, which can then have a further impact on inflation. And then just heading into the winter months, that I anticipate things are probably going to get worse.
Western central banks have shifted from unprecedented zero interest rate policies to rates not seen in decades. But even if that does tame inflation, it will likely take months, if not years. For those on fixed incomes, the working poor class, and much of the middle class, serious economic damage has already been done.
A lot of my friends are just keeping their jobs they've had ever since we were 18, even 16, because it's the only way we can get some money in our pockets. We're still living under mama's roof, mama's food, because, well, not only do we have to pay rents that are excessive, we have to go to grocery store. Well, milk is now like $6 for, you know, what we used to pay $3, $4.
Many say solutions do exist, such as price caps, anti-monopoly legislation, caps on corporate profits, and wage increases. However, in the United States, such ideas appear politically impossible, and they are deeply opposed across the Eurozone as well. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
And that brings it into this broadcast from Tehran.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome back to Aperture. Over the past 50 years, the average global temperature has increased at the fastest rate in recorded history. Scientists agree that the Earth's rising temperatures are fueling longer and hotter heat waves, more frequent droughts, heavier rainfall, and more powerful hurricanes. The impacts of global warming are being felt across the globe. And it could speed up if we keep burning fossil fuels at our current pace. But it's not just global warming. Other forms of pollution are also destroying the Earth. Now, many experts agree that environmental, economic, and health consequences are likely to occur if current trends continue. Don't go away. Here's the rest of the documentary.
I have a family. We are a family, the Earth itself, and the humans that live on this planet. We can have a positive or negative interaction with each other. If we do negative things, nature will respond negatively.
Unfortunately, when we collectively use more and produce more, we see this as welfare. Anywhere in the world, if the production of automobiles, cement, or electricity increases, officials of that country take pride in it. For instance, they say we've been able to boost steel production by 10%.
Our main priority now is to cap production.
They would never come and say that we've cut production because the earth is sick, it has a problem, that this year we've cut our production, we've cut cement, we've cut steel in order to cause less harm to the earth. We haven't yet reached that stage.
Today, we hardly consider the future in our decisions. I can frankly say that we never think about the future.
The sky that you look upon, the air that you breathe, is your father. The planet you live on is your mother.
We've failed to take into consideration the Earth's biological capacity, and this is the number one reason for the disaster we're now facing.
The polar bear, the ruler of the Arctic. There are 25,000 of them left in the world. They're on the verge of extinction. Animals need ice for hunting, seals and other prey, but the Arctic is melting.
Our water resources are being destroyed. Natural ice caps, which are the main source of sweet drinking water for billions of people, are melting. These are issues that will powerfully affect the future of mankind.
Everyone here is praying for more rain, but is it already too late?
Lack of water will be the main problem for mankind in the future.
It certainly looks like a crisis after the worst drought in 80 years in the state of São Paulo. Reservoirs have reached rock bottom, and everyone's hoping the rainy season will bring a miracle.
With global warming, we're concerned about the future of the Earth's environment and worried about the continued life of human beings. We're concerned about environmental adversities that could happen to the Earth. For example, the rise of international waters, melting of polar ice caps, and extinction of many animal species.
Look, with the predicted temperature changes, all polar ice caps are melting. Why? Why is all this happening? Because the temperature is rising, and so Q, or heat energy, is increasing. The temperature on Earth is rising. When a place like Alaska and cold climate regions are going down, well, this temperature difference is being narrowed. What will happen if the temperature difference narrows? Distances are being narrowed. So that means depth is being added to. When it becomes deeper, it means we're moving into it.
Due to the destruction we're causing to the planet, polar ice caps will melt in no time and water levels will rise. Then you'll see how many cities will be totally inundated, and this will lead to great expense and loss for humans. How many refugees will we have? What amount of humanitarian aid would be required for those inundated countries and to accommodate their people?
I am thinking about all the suffering you have caused us.
It's obvious that at some level we abuse the Earth to make money, but then we have to spend it, and the spending will probably increase.
I am trapped in a nightmare. I am trapped in this nightmare. I hope I wake up soon. This catastrophe is more than I can bear, but I am a forgiving mother. I cannot stand that my children.
The main discussion point here is, to what extent are we endangering the balance of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere?
This is the result of years of indifference toward the rise of fuel consumption by Earth's inhabitants, using fossil fuels and extracting amounts of carbon from the depths of the Earth and emitting it out into our atmosphere, with the oceans and water's low capacity in absorbing it.
Countries that produce oil and gas highly depend on oil revenues for their income. Well, if we discuss cutting emissions, that would mean reducing the production of fossil fuels, and that could somehow affect their income in the future. We humans, for our own interests, have been indifferent toward the Earth by gradually increasing the use of heating devices for transportation, as in cars, or fossil fuels that are used in industries, petrochemical refineries, powerhouses, and household fuels, and so on.
این محصول بی‌توجهی ما به حال زمین بوده.
We all breathe the same air. There may be less pollution in one place and more in another, but its effect on the environment can be hazardous for us all.
برای همه ما میتونه زیانبار و زیانبخش
باشه. Used to be so good, but my children started to forget about me. They started to only think about themselves and forgot about their mother. I don't quite understand why greed has taken such a hold on you. My children have brought disorder to this world.
We will see many people lose their habitats due to rising seawater levels in the future.
Consider the chain of islands that make up the Maldives, which are only 1.2 meters above sea level at most. The country will lose a large portion of its land with the minutest rise in open water levels. Residential areas will be destroyed.
Many people will be unable to continue living in their own countries due to the drought and lack of water.
You pointed out to wars being fought in the future over water. Unfortunately, I have to say that these wars have already started. The future is now.
Since entering the 21st century, even in our own western region, there have been serious challenges over water resources.
So discussions about war and the competition for having access to water resources have already begun. It may not be that serious now, but be aware of its complications.
A large number of people will have to be relocated because their cities will become uninhabitable.
These people will migrate to places across the world, but these other areas do not have a high capacity either. It will be one of mankind's major problems in the future.
What does it all mean? It will mean high expenses for human living, something we never thought about. We never thought that a big city could ever become uninhabitable, a city with millions of residents, but it's happening.
The people I see, these are people, Paula, let me explain, who are people with limited resources. These are people who did not have the wherewithal to get out of town. They didn't have cars. There's no way they could pay for a hotel room. They stayed in their houses because they had to. And then the water came up. And I'm sure there were elderly here, there were infirm here. It's just horrific.
پیش بینی میشه که طی 15 سال آینده بر اساس بهترین برآوردهای
Based on UN estimations, it's predicted that within the next 15 years at most, between 80 and 90 million people will be displaced from small countries that are made up of chains of islands due to global warming and climate change. Then we won't be dealing with migrants and asylum seekers displaced by war and conflict. We will have migrants fleeing environmental disasters as well. So we need to make people around the world more aware of this eventuation and find a solution for it.
در جامعه جهانی باید با این ادبیات بیشتر خودمون رو معنوس بکنیم و براش تدبیر بیندوشیم.
If I make a mistake here and go to jail, my kids and family will live the effects. I've done something wrong, but my child will feel its effects. If I make a mistake as a member of the global community, that mistake affects the whole. One multiplied by 1,000. One is a small figure. One is a small figure, but it's multiplied by 1,000. What does it equal? It equals 1,000. We have an index called M for mistake, which is a huge figure collectively. It's the mass of the entire planet. It's not at all a small figure. Now, even if you have an extremely small figure, you're multiplying it by a very large number. One multiplied by 1,000 equals 1,000. The one turned into 1,000. Two multiplied by 1,000 equals 2,000. Three multiplied by 1,000 equals 3,000. 0.5 multiplied by 1,000 equals 500. So we should be aware of what we're doing.
The Earth is also making all efforts to somehow balance all the noise and demands we're imposing on it. However, our power, mankind's destructive power, is now seemingly taking the upper hand over the Earth's ability to regenerate itself.
Anyways, we should know that if the doors to the future open in this way, it will lead to a grave crisis.
Thank you.
I am shivering and I feel nauseous. My children, the economic factor is not a sustainable argument. I think about climate change and this disaster.
The components of social welfare need to be changed. The developing world should no longer be using the same criterion the developed world has defined as welfare for its people and follow their footsteps.
If we take an overall look, I think any project, any move, any industrialization, any process or any technology should calculate the temperature rise on the Earth in proportion with the delta T quotient.
Finally, humans can go on living for a week or two without food and a few days without water, but without air, we can't but survive for a minute. It is the most vital of anything the Earth's atmosphere has provided us with. We're using it, but on the other hand, we're destroying it, badly, and with high cost. We place it into a poorly manufactured man-made combustion device and receive toxic chemicals on the other side, which remains. It remains and moves around, and the Earth has no way to get rid of some of these toxic chemicals we've produced.
The economy has limited all activities to itself, and those who speak about the impact on the environment and the earth just talk and hold summits, but practically it's almost useless.
Concern. Just concern. What does that mean? What does being concerned mean? Static concern is meaningless. Concern should be dynamic. If you're concerned, you should do something to reduce that concern. That's a dynamic solution, not a static one. A static solution just adds to your concern and accumulates and is useless. Concern must be dynamic. What does dynamic mean? It means you must seek a real solution for it. It means you need to have a program.
I believe that if we carry on like this, making the earth sick and failing to do anything about this sickness, we'll be deeply ashamed in front of our next generations. They've had no role in bringing about this situation, yet they have to bear the consequences. Consequences that are getting worse by the day. So I can't do anything but apologize to the next generation who might be watching this film for the disasters that my generation is causing the environment and the earth.
I don't understand why. My children are destroying the one and only home that they have. As my children, they have closed their eyes to the facts. Don't use your planet in the wrong way. We are a part of you, not separated from you.
The Earth has been stable and balanced due to its ecosystem. It carried on with its life way before we ever came along and started hurting and destroying it. Finally, just like a pendulum will do, if you place it out of balance, it will try to balance itself, reach its lowest energy level and become balanced.
The Earth is our mother. It's beautiful, it's a creator, it's merciful, and we in return are being very bad children.
Well, it's perfectly true that every single one of us citizens of the Earth must do our share to reduce pollution. But to curb global warming and avoid its dire consequences, the countries most responsible must make an effort. The U.S. has caused more global warming than any other country. Research shows that from 1850 to the year 2011, the United States, a single country, produced 27% of the total carbon dioxide emissions of the world. No other single country was even close. Indeed, the U.S. even outdistanced all the nations of the European Union combined. Well, that's a wrap for this week, but join me again next week here on Aperture. Goodbye for now.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salaamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of Lantern. On the continuation of this program, Lantern from IRIB English Radio, we'll listen to an interesting story, The Angel. It's the title of today's story. Once upon a time, there was a child ready to be born. One day, the child asked Allah, "They tell me you are going to send me to earth tomorrow, but how am I going to live there being so small and helpless?" God replied, "Among the many angels, I have chosen one for you. She will be waiting for you and will take care of you." Said child, "But tell me, here in heaven, I don't do anything else, busting and a smile. That's what I need to be happy." God replied, "Your angel will sing for you every day, and you will feel your angel's love and be happy." "And," said the child, "how am I going to be able to understand when people talk to me if I don't know the language the men talk?" "That's easy," God said. "Your angel will tell you the most beautiful and sweet words you will ever hear. And with much patience and care, your angel will teach you how to speak." The child looked up at God, saying, "And what am I going to do when I want to talk to you?" God smiled at the child, saying, "Your angel will teach you how to pray." The child said, "I've heard on earth there are bad men. Who will protect me?" God replied, "Your angel will defend you, even if it means risking life." The child looked sad, saying, "But I will always be sad because I will not see you anymore." God replied, "Your angel will always talk to you about me and will teach you the way to come back to me, even though I will always be next to you." At that moment, there was much peace in heaven, but voices from earth could already be heard. The child, in a hurry, asked softly, "Oh God, if I'm about to leave now, please tell me my angel's name." God replied, "Your angel's name is of no importance. You will simply call her mother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, this is Lantern, and I am your brother in faith, Ali. Today we are going to talk about the status of mothers from an Islamic or, let's say, religious perspective. Let's go and talk about one of the other religions, of past religions, let's say Christianity, and Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus the Christ. And he, from the very beginning, from the from his birth, actually talks good of his mother. When he says, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا, O Allah, make me kind towards my mother. You see, from early birth of his, Prophet Isa alayhi salam asked Allah and prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him the chance and opportunity to be kind towards his mother. So we see how beautifully past religions and, let's say, the prophets of God have portrayed and pictured the place and the status of mother in our eyes. But now, let's talk about the perspective, about the status of mother in the from an Islamic perspective. In Islam, first let's look at Al-Quran. Then, inshallah, we shall go to the Sunnah and Seerah of the Holy Prophet. Let's first start with the status of mothers and mother in Al-Quran first. We have already seen some words like walidati, Musa, walidat, ummahat, and the words so on and so forth, which all of them refer to the to the mothers. So whether the mothers of the prophets or the mothers of ordinary people, so we see that how greatly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually talks and praises mother of Musa, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to her, that is, wa awhayna ila umma Musa, that is, we have revealed to the mother of Musa. So is it possible for a mother to get revelations? And how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the mother of Isa, the prophet, Jesus, the Christ. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders all the people how to behave your mothers and how to treat your mothers and how to actually respect them. And it's as if that after the, let's say, submission to Allah's words and orders, it is the time to take, to be submissive to the parents and specifically to mothers. In chapter Al-Luqman or and Al-Ahqaf, after recommending to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after recommending us to be kind to his parents, Allah talks about the hardship and, let's say, the hardship and the difficulty that mothers took at the time of their birth and even after the time of the birth till the time that they are milking and feeding their kids. حَمَلَتُ أُمُّ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتُهُ كُرْهًا وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ 40 سَنَةً. See, Allah says that a mother carries her burden with difficulty and with lots of hardship, and all these time is sort of, let's say, hardship and difficulty on the shoulder of the mother. So Allah wants us to compensate. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that beautifully talks about these hardships that mothers usually undertake,
Edward tells us that it's a sort of, let's say, obligation on us to be kind towards our mothers. The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
That much about the Quranic verses that we have seen, that how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the status of parents and specifically the mothers. Now let's see and check the sunnah and the conduct of the Holy Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. How did they look at the personality and the, let's say, status of mothers? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself not only respected his own mother, Amina sallallahu alaiha, but also the ones, the ladies who have actually brought him up. One of them was, let's say, servant of Abu Jahl, and the other one was Halima Sa'diya. So both of them, and the Prophet actually respected them, and usually Prophet said lots of good words about them, and he remembered them with good memories, and he always talked good about those people. And this is famous that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al jannah tahta aqdam al ummahat, the heavens or the jannah is under the legs and the foot under the feet of the mothers. So when the Holy Prophet of Islam, the greatest role model in this world, tells us this is the status of the mothers, so all in all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his book, through his messengers, not only the messenger of Islam, not only the Prophet of Islam, but also the prophets of other religions, wants to tell us directly that this is our duty to highly respect our mothers and praise them for all the hardships and difficulty that they have undertook during the time of their pregnancy and the time that they gave birth to us and the time that they milked us. And till today, and till the day of judgment, this is a right and our shoulder that we have to be cautious of. Last point of mine, which is the ending, let's say, point for this show, is the hadith and narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that once he narrates that once a young person. Came to the Holy Prophet and asked the Prophet of God, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whom should I be kind to? The Holy Prophet said, your mom. For the second time and third time, the same question was asked, and the Holy Prophet said, your mom. And when he asked the same question for the fourth time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered him, your father. So we see, Islamically speaking, from an Islamic perspective, it's a great duty on us to be kind to our mother and to not to even tell them, even ouch, a simple word of, let's say, hatred. So we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be a good follower for these great role models in the world, say from the prophets of all religions, or the Prophet of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio.